This is VOA News. Via remote, I'm Marissa Melton. Confirmation hearings for U.S. Supreme Court nominee Amy Coney Barrett opened in Washington Monday, with Barrett telling senators that courts should not try to make policy and should leave that to American presidents and Congress. As the hearing started, Senator Dianne Feinstein, the lead Democrat on the Senate Judiciary Committee, immediately signaled that the minority Democrats plan to sharply question Barrett about one major policy dispute, her view that a 2012 Supreme Court decision upholding the legality of the Affordable Care Act, a national health care law affecting millions of Americans, was wrongly decided. The court is considering a new challenge to the Affordable Care Act on November 10th, by which time Barrett could be a justice on the 9-member court, deciding whether to overturn the statute or allow it to stand. The head of the World Health Organization is warning against a strategy of pursuing herd immunity to stop the coronavirus pandemic. He calls the idea unethical. At a news briefing in Geneva Monday, WHO Director General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus said health officials should only try to achieve immunity through vaccination, not exposing people to the virus. In his explanation, Ghebreyesus referenced herd immunity, which happens when a population is protected from a viral outbreak because a threshold level of immunity has been reached in that population. He said never in the history of public health has herd immunity been used as a strategy for responding to an outbreak, let alone a pandemic. It's scientifically and ethically problematic. The WHO estimates that about 10% of the world has contracted the coronavirus. It's not yet known what percentage rate of infection is needed to achieve herd immunity. From Washington, you're listening to VOA News. The United States launched airstrikes against Taliban fighters in Afghanistan's southern Helmand province, according to U.S. officials on Monday, after a large-scale offensive saw insurgents take over military bases in the region and close in on a key provincial capital. The strikes carried out over the last 2 days mark a rare military intervention by the United States since it signed an agreement on troop withdrawal with the Taliban in February. The deal provides for the withdrawal of foreign forces from Afghanistan in exchange for security guarantees from the insurgent group and a pledge to sit down with the Kabul administration to find a peaceful settlement to decades of war. Fighting has continued despite several rounds of peace talks between the Taliban and Afghan government negotiators in the Qatari capital of Doha over the past month. Belarus police will now be permitted to use combat weapons in the streets if needed to respond to what the Interior Ministry described as increasingly radicalized mass anti-government protests. Police said they had detained 713 people at mass protests on Sunday, in which security forces used water cannon and batons to break up crowds demanding a new presidential election. Tens of thousands of Belarusians have demonstrated every weekend since an August 9th election in which President Alexander Lukashenko was declared the winner. His opponents say the result was falsified. Lukashenko denies rigging the vote. Most opposition leaders have fled the country or been arrested. Armenia and Azerbaijan continue to report fighting Monday despite a ceasefire brokered in the disputed breakaway region of Nagorno-Karabakh, which each country claims. Armenia said Monday that Azerbaijani forces were shelling the southern front of the conflict zone, while Nagorno-Karabakh officials accused Azerbaijan of carrying out large-scale hostilities in the area of Hadrut. Nagorno-Karabakh is a predominantly ethnic Armenian enclave within Azerbaijan. Azerbaijan's defense ministry dismissed the accusations as disinformation and accused Armenian forces of shelling areas in Azerbaijan near the Nagorno-Karabakh region. Emergency services were clearing debris of a collapsed building Monday in the densely populated city of Lagos in Nigeria. It left at least 8 people dead. The cause of the incident, which happened on Sunday, remains unknown. But building collapses are common in Africa's most populous country, where millions live in dilapidated properties and construction laws are routinely ignored. Dozens of people were helping with the clearing operation. Marissa Melton, VOA News.